Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Very excited about having our good friend Joel Barker back on the show, one of the top futurists of our lifetime. I can promise you that. He's he's the first person to popularize the concept of paradigms. He didn't invent the word or the term, but he sure brought it back into our lexicon and made it relevant to so many of us years ago with his outstanding book and film, Paradigms, The Business of Discovering the Future. That's just one of his many books, and if you follow him, you'll see what's coming at you from the future. And we've been so fortunate for the last dozen years to have him on the show. Joel, welcome back.
Thank you, Jim. And you know what I like to say to your audience is I don't actually write books about the content of the future. I write books and make videos about how to think about the future. And what we're showing as we meet once a month is how that works.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we appreciate it very much. Speaking of which, there's something I know you're excited about, and I am too, a new membrane, a biologically inspired membrane that's going to do something pretty cool. Tell us about it.
Yeah, Sandia Labs, one of our great national labs, has developed a process using an enzyme that was developed millions and millions of years ago by living organisms, single-celled organisms, to extract CO2 from their environment. And what they have done is captured that process and built it so that it can be used with coal-fired plants and absorb 90% of all the CO2 coming out of those stacks and capturing it in such a way that it is reusable, therefore a product and therefore a potential revenue generator.
Wow.
And before you say anything, Jim, I want to say, you predicted this in a general statement. A couple of years ago, you said, Joel, this is going to lead to somebody turning that into an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the result of, I mean, you got it right.
Yep, yep.
What we have here is Sandia Labs has turned it into an opportunity.
It's a 21st century scrubber, isn't it? All these things, all these stacks have scrubbers. It's a 21st century scrubber, only it doesn't just clean. It remediates and repurposes. But what was it we had a while back that we were going to be able to do with that carbon? There was a specific use for it. What was it? You remember?
You can turn it into, by combining it with various other molecules, you can turn it into plastics.
Yeah.
So it becomes the base. The CO2 becomes the base for the plastics. And you can also make methane out of it and methanol out of it, and there's a whole bunch of things that can become a base for. You can use it just to pressurize old oil wells if you want to get the rest of the oil out, but I'm not interested in that.
And look what it's doing. It's actually creating new commodity classes. Who would have thought raw carbon would be a commodity? Like that, repurposed carbon. Like orange juice or pork bellies. Or soybeans,
Like orange peels and pork belly. Yeah, that's
exactly.
Right. Yeah. One clarification I want to make. The scrubbers were there first to take out the particles and the sulfur and stuff like that. Because the scrubbers are already in place, it allows you to drop these filters right on top of it. And the scrubbers don't make them dirty because they've already been cleansed. That's really important, that if you didn't have that first step, you'd have to invent the first step to clean the particles.
But you call it a biological membrane, and biologically inspired. Is this a plastic? Is it a flesh? What is it?
The membrane?
Yes.
It's actually a material. It's almost nanotech in terms of its structure, but it's very durable. And so if you think about it in terms – when you talk about it in terms of nanometers, in terms of how thick it is and how small the pieces are. But that's all right because the atoms – CO2 is, it's atomic in its scale.
Yeah.
So it can handle that small size. And so what we've got here is a natural enzyme now captured in a special structure, kind of a honeycomb structure, that as the CO2 gases pass through it, it grabs the CO2
mm-hmm.
and then concentrates it and then releases it under a control function so that you can make something of it. That's what I think is so interesting mm-hmm. about it is all of a sudden, just as you said, Joel, this is going to be an opportunity. We're looking at the opportunity now.
And beyond smokestacks, automobiles, right? Any kind of exhaust system?
I don't know. That's
why not?
The question. And in fact, three or four things that we've got here. It's what else can you apply?
How about this?
And so I would assume.
You pull up at a gas station with your car to put gas in, and you reach under and grab a little can of your carbon collected from the membrane materials, and you turn it into the gas station to get a discount on your gas. How about that?
It's an interesting thought.
Hold on to that thought. We got a lot more of this craziness to come after this break. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.